Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, I have a double treat for you. I have Burl and Mary Hall, and they are the authors of Sophia's Web, subtitled A Passionate Call to Heal Our Wounded Nature. Burl Hall is an author, and he's an online radio co-host of Envision This. He's a philosopher, lover of Sophia, a mystic, and a retired counselor. He writes with the editorial assistance of his muse and wife, Mary Hall, who is a retired teacher and author of Bringing Food Home, The Main Example, and his co-host on Envision This, which connects listeners to visionaries of a more resilient, equitable, and earth-friendly future. And they can be found at blogtalkradio.com/envision-this. Together, they enjoy grandparenting, permaculture gardening at their home in Sabattis, Maine, and meeting and profiling visionaries to interview on their radio show. You can visit them on the web, where they blog and post about their radio guests and converse with folks, and that is at envisionthismedia.com, and we will repeat those later for live listeners in case you didn't get it, and of course you can always go back and listen to the podcast because it's right at the top of the hour. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Burl and Mary. Burl and Mary are on the same line, so they're going to pass the phone back and forth. First of all, I'll ask Burl, how are you tonight?
Good, David. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm glad that we finally got together and have you on the show. And I'll talk to Mary in a while. I trust she's well tonight. She sounded well when I talked to her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's doing fine.
Well, I know that one of the things that you two are passionate in talking about is your writing. And so why don't we start off talking about Sophia's Web? I love the subtitle. Of course, I haven't read the book, but I'm always interested in healing. And, of course, we human beings all have paths whereby we do need healing. And in so doing, then we can come to feel our completeness and feel more connected to all that is, including our higher self. So I'm going to turn it over to you and let you tell us about the book.
Well, the book has been long in the making. I actually did an original version that I self-published back in the late 90s, I believe it was. That, again, was called Sophia's Web, Understanding the Unity and Diversity of Religion, Science, and Ourselves. But then I wanted to really update it, and when I moved up here to Maine and met my wife, we both hit it off in terms of our love for Sophia. And so that led me into making the book better because I never passed a course in English ever, but my wife has a PhD, decided to rewrite it. And it's gotten really great reviews. It's a it's a great book, and I'm also working on two other ones, actually. I don't know if you want me to go into that right now or not. But.
Well, let's get back to that later.
Okay.
Just because I am not aware, can you explain who Sophia is?
Sophia literally means wisdom. And Christ himself was originally called the incarnate Sophia of God.
Okay.
The incarnate wisdom of God. And so that, so anyway, I was having a lot of dreams, and I'm sorry, I'm watching my wife move around here. I started having a series of dreams back in the 90s, and I started also tying them into readings that I was doing regarding Carl Jung, a psychiatrist who I started running into him actually a couple of months after the initial dreams. And then I got a hold of Joseph Campbell, and I started seeing a lot of patterns throughout the world between the religions and science and philosophy and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wait a minute, these guys are saying basically the same thing, and, you know, we're going to war over it. And, you know, whether it be pagan or whatever, Hindu, Buddhist, you know, when you really get down to the core, there's a common theme. And with my understanding, here I'm using the term of the physicist David Bohm, but we're basically grounded in an unmanifest order, which in the Bible would be the waters of Genesis, and in the Kogis, they call her a Luna, and she too was notified as water. And by water, I don't think the ancients really were talking about like the water that you and I bathe in, but rather a fluidity, an undifferentiated thing, a mass that from out of which everything came. So my whole thing with Sophia's web was I started also seeing the patterns between the various religions to science, and I started wondering, well, why are we always at war over religion, and when they all have the same grounding? And coupled with my dreams is what got me motivated to start writing the book.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful starting point, and I'm right with you as far as seeing common threads between science, philosophy, psychology, and religion. And it's always mystified me as to why we can't, or why it's been such a challenge to find common ground, which is what my show is all about.
Right.
Trying to heal whatever the differences are, agree to disagree without arguing, and just find that common ground where we can explore and hopefully open our minds to greater understanding. So please tell us more.
About the book, or? Well,
yes.
You know, my goal is to really show the unity behind it. You know, I think if people started seeing themselves in each other's eyes, we might just come to peace, because, you know, I think some of this is actually, and I don't think I get into this in the book because it's something that I've been just thinking about, is that a lot of the conflicts in the world, like black versus white, male versus female, left versus right, and so on and so forth, is one way that the powers that be, I'm talking about the political powers that be, really get us into conflictual relationships, like left versus right, or liberal versus conservative. So in Sophia's web, what I wanted to do was, even though I don't think I'd get into it specifically in the book, but what I wanted to get into is that there's a unity behind the oppositions. and that includes in sexuality also, in terms of the male mirroring the female. Women are upward and inward, whereas men are down and out. And, you know, you're just trying to bring the whole notion of opposites as not being warring factions, but as mending together.
Mm.
I think Mary wants to see.
Sure.
Hi. This is
Hi,
Mary.
Hi there, Mary. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I've got to tell you that in large part, I think I fell in love with Burroughs' Sophia's Web before even I met him. I read an early version of the book, and I was just swept away by the way that he pulled so many different thoughts and areas together and showed how, Sophia, how wisdom weaves us all into a web where we all see and reflect each other.
Yeah.
It really is an exciting vision. And so then we met, and the rest is kind of history. But I do want to say that the book is passionate and is highly unusual in the sense that it pulls together his scholarship on the one hand and his personal experiences and dreams and visionary joy on the other. It's an exciting book.
Well, I'd like to talk about a couple of things that may or may not be in the book. And you mentioned the word wisdom. And I'd like to talk about where wisdom comes from and how we can gain it.
Ah, wisdom comes from, I think, experience, contemplation, experience with love.
Mm.
I think once we begin to really look at everything that we think, everything that we see, everybody that we meet, every circumstance we reach, with the sense of love, of how it ties us to one another and to life in general, then wisdom begins to bubble up from within us, from inside of us. We see things out there that other people have written, for instance, or experience something in a church or in a relationship with a friend or lover, and all of a sudden what they are showing becomes enlightened within our own hearts, and that's when wisdom arises for us. And Sophia is one name for wisdom. It's not, you know, necessarily you know, that she is the goddess or, you know, whatever, but more that that's what resonated with Burroughs' soul. That's, you know, how he was able to personally relate to wisdom. And I think that's the genius of the book, is that these ideas are shared and cultural, and yet he resonates with them so personally in terms of experiences and dreams. And I think if we all could share in that experience and celebrate it, that we'd come a long way towards healing our world.
I totally agree. And I loved what you were saying about how it bubbles up, because we all have access to that, not just through our own experience or from hearing about the experiences of others, that perhaps we can gain some wisdom but by just examining other people's examples and experiences. But
yes, and our own, and going simply deep inside and seeing what resonates truly with us, what raises our sense of joy and connectedness and
well,
love.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that anything that, to me, brings me a sense of joy and a sense of well-being speaks to me of truth and speaks to me of wisdom. And anything that causes fear to me speaks to me of the ego and lies. And so that's kind of how I sort it out for myself. I don't know what you think about that.
That sounds absolutely right on the same track that we're thinking in it. It's as if you're saying in flute music what we're saying in violin music. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It goes together. And, of course, the whole concert is available within each and every one of us because we're fractals of divinity, of God. We each contain the seed of the all, are seated with
absolutely
all knowledge, all wisdom, all love, all life.
What do you two maintain causes our wounded nature?
All right. What do we maintain causes our wounded nature? I will begin to say that I think when we allow fear, or when we allow domination, whether it's domination through education or through financial means or whatever, to take us over, then, and we become creatures of need, of wanting more, to be more and more powerful and be more and more loved and recognized and beautiful and whatever, that then it's very, very easy for people, for their own benefit, to manipulate that. And I'm going to put the phone over to Burl to expand on that answer.
Sure.
But we're talking about what causes our wounded nature.
Hi. I personally think that what causes our wounded nature is because of our being really bent on top-down authority. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's not needed at times. For example, you got a 5-year-old who's ready to put his head into a crocodile's mouth. You know, you want to get him out of there without reason. But I lost my train of thought.
Well, you were talking about, you know, physical danger as opposed to that top-down sort of that domination stuff.
Right, and make it more community-oriented. And with the way that ties into the message of the book is it talks about wisdom as being within everything, and it's as part of the working of the world, for example. Diversity is badly needed. Whereas in our culture, we go into standardization in the business model, and also even in the schools, for example, the No Child Left Behind. And I don't think, there's some of that in nature's wisdom. But I think, you know, we got to start, instead of indoctrinating kids, and that's what it is, to actually help them to evolve from within. That's not to say give them the basic maths and stuff, but to get them to take it further, more so than the standardized tests that they're given. That makes sense.
It makes absolute sense to me, and yet it seems almost like a pipe dream that we could bring something like that into being at a broad level, whereby children are taught about their spiritual nature and are taught about the difference between their ego and their spirit, and you know, that is what I call visionary.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And to get the population there, it's going to be, at this point, really tough because everybody's so externally oriented and not so much internally.
Especially in this Western culture in the United States. Unfortunately, that seems to be the case. I once heard it said, by Anthony DeMello, that to be alive is to be addicted, because we, as humans, we tend to attach ourselves to outer circumstances, people, places, and things to make us feel better, when that only comes from within. What would you like to say about that?
Well, you're absolutely right. It does come from within. And, as you were talking, I was thinking about here lately, you know, Jung would call this a synchronicity, that I'm hearing a lot. Let me put you over to my wife. Hold on. I keep losing my train.
Hi.
That's all right, Pearl. No problem.
It certainly is all right, and it's understandable for any of us human beings, and it's especially understandable given the Alzheimer's that is beginning to erode the conditioned mind that Pearl has and free up at the same time the unconditioned, the ecstatic, mystic aspect of his thinking. But he will, when trying to follow a logical idea to its end, lose track of where he is and where he's going.
Well, that's understandable, and that can happen to the best of us, but it becomes much more of a challenge for somebody who's diagnosed with Alzheimer's, certainly.
Well, it's something that we together are keeping a journal on, him from the point of view of the person involved with it, and me from the point of view of the caregiver. And, so we both write on it. And we think that in many ways it's a gift, because it's undoing the intensive socialization to be part of the dominant culture that seems to be a direction in which we need trailblazers at this time in order for all of us to become freer to think in terms of real matters of life and truth and love and so forth.
I couldn't agree more, and more and more people who identify themselves as light workers are coming to the surface. I have so many of them that are attracted to my show. And it's just wonderful to see people that recognize that we live in a dualistic world where there is darkness and light, and have overcome their own shadows and choose to live in the light and lead others into it. And you know, that certainly comes from things like wisdom that we were talking about.
Well, it does, and it comes from letting go of the fears and the neediness that, in a way, mm-hmm. has been so carefully programmed into
Absolute.
Us, not just individually in this generation, but, you know, culturally for such a long, long time, that
mm-hmm.
Takes something major. But something major seems to be happening, and that's why it was so important to Burrow and is to me to get this work out to the world, and because we may be striking one note that other people, you know, aren't, and all of our notes together, all of the light workers together, you know, are creating a symphony that maybe people will truly begin to hear.
I love that metaphor. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it takes all of us to complete the whole, and we need to let go of our separateness and the fear that you talk about and embrace that our differences and our diversity, which makes the human experience so much more delicious, you know?
Yes, yes, exactly. And quite often we can... build on what other people have said or put in books or put in their artwork or put in movies or, you know, put in music. And we can take what they have said, respond to it, and personalize it and take it further within our own lives. And in a way, that's what Burrow is doing with the book that he's just now working on, Lover's Path Home. And I'm going to put him on to talk some about Lover's Path Home and how it builds on another creative genius's work.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Regarding Lover's Path Home, it was a book that I also started working on in the 90s. And with it, it's kind of a sequel to Sophia's Web, but I think it's written a lot more simply for a lot of folks. A lot of folks find Sophia's Web a hard read, which, you know, I don't, but then again, you know, I lived the book. But with Lover's Path Home, I take it down and I look at the story of the Wizard of Oz, and
mm-hmm.
put that in relationship to our paths in line. And with the guy that wrote the story, Baum, B-A-U-M, I think is how you spell his name. He was a genius, a creative genius. The story itself erupted out of his mind, but it actually covered two major parts of his life. Number one is, you know, the whole thing about the gold standard, which was the yellow brick road, and, you know, the mess that's ultimately caused this. Of course, this movie was made in the 30s. But also being under the thumb of, A, the fear of death, the Witch of West, but also the wizard who could be basically the president of the United States, a congressman or a priest, preacher, or guru. And, you know, it's basically saying, you know, we need to go into our hearts. And that actually is a major goal for me in both Sophia's Web and Lover's Path Home in terms of drawing out a person's confidence. I don't know if I'm using the right word there, but.
Well, you know, I, of course, not having read Sophia's Web, just mm-hmm. reflecting on what you've said, I love what you're saying about this new book, because we're all children at heart, but as adults we tend to complicate things
yeah.
So much. And to me, spiritual wisdom is infinite, but it's based on simple truths. And in terms of my own human experience, I've come to see that it's based on common sense and keeping things simple in a world where people complicate the bejesus out of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. What do you think about?
Go ahead. About people oversimplifying?
No, about the importance of simplifying life, I guess, if you will, so that we can become more in touch with what is real that comes from the heart.
Yeah, simplify it as much as possible, but also, in my opinion, work with a lot of differentiation in terms of, for example, I'm more of a picture learner, and in the book, I will flip between being really scientific, and this is what so-and-so said, and that's what, but then, you know, I'll get poetic in it. So, you know, in the book, I actually try to amend the two, because I think...
Marvelous.
Huh?
Marvelous.
What? Yeah. Marvel?
Marvelous. Yeah, I like
the concept. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this phone was breaking up a little bit, but it's a great book, and it really does. I mean, it's a great sequel to Sophia's Web, or actually, it could be first before Sophia's Web, because it could actually simplify Sophia's Web, and you know, help people to understand it more. And Mary's wanting to add something here.
Hi, I was just looking at a page at the very end of Sophia's Web that begins to lead into his lover's path home. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to read two paragraphs of this.
Absolutely.
Talks about, he says, so what is holding you back, you the reader? Your heels together three times, dive into the depths of your soul, send your wizard ego sailing off in a hot air balloon, and awaken in Kansas as the Sleeping Beauty. When you awaken, you will know Oz was a dream, the Wicked Witch of the West, or death has melted, and the loving embrace of Auntie M, Fate or Sophia, and Uncle Henry, the ruler of the house, were with you the whole time. Like Bastion in the never-ending story, you hold the whole ball of wax in your hands. Without your compassionate participation, humankind will perish from the earth, and with it the great gift of imagination. Now, here, with all its incumbent needs and challenges, is crucial to eternity infinity. Give your whole heart, life, and labor to this moment and this place. You are an inherent, crucial microcosm of the all.
That's beautiful. I love the metaphors in that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, when can we expect Lover's Path Home? How far along is that?
Well, I'm working at the moment on proofreading it, and we're looking into possibilities of publishing. Unfortunately, our finances are awful, and Sophia's Web hasn't been making a mint for us. In fact, it's still cost. One of the things we're looking at is simply putting it out as an e-book. But also, we have become very close friends with somebody we interviewed on our Blog Talk radio show, Envision This, when we were still doing regular interviews. And his name is Peter Moon, and he has a new book coming out and is getting involved in a book publication company.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, we're waiting to see how his book takes off and how the company takes off and whether, you know, because he would be happy through his services, if he gets them up and running, to publish Lover's Path Home, to publish, republish Sophia's Web, but also a book that, in a way, I'm writing right now, is re-interviewing people that we interviewed on Envision This. Envision This, each week we spoke to somebody who was who envisioned a future that was more resilient, equitable, earth-friendly than the world we're currently, and time we're currently living in. And I canvassed the people that we've interviewed, and some of them really wanted to go on to be profiled in my book, which is called Vision, Passion, and Mission, because those are the elements that I find when I listen to all of the people we interviewed together, are the burning qualities that keep these people working so hard and contributing so much towards a resilient and much more joyful and love-filled future.
Well, this might be a good time to talk about your radio show. And it's my thinking that we have the material here to do another show on Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we can focus on Burl's mystical journey and his journey with Alzheimer's, with, of course, your participation, too. I think that would make a wonderful complement to what we're talking about today. As I see the clock ticking on, I wanted to get into those areas, too, but I think that would make another show. What do you think?
I think it would make a wonderful show. Burl David is talking about possibly doing another show with him that would go more into your mysticism and also the Alzheimer's and how that all was put together. Yeah, so I'm going to put this back over to Burl.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi. What do you think about that idea?
I love it.
Okay. Well, let's plan on doing that sometime in the near future, perhaps as early as April. But for now, I would like to talk about your radio show, unless there's anything that's come to mind based on what we've already talked about that you'd like to bring forward.
Yeah, well, the radio show right now is pretty quiet. I mean, Mary did an interview with we can't locate it right off the top of our heads, but anyway, we basically are interviewing people that are looking towards a just, sustainable, and equitable future. And we cover items, everything, of course, from spirituality to eating food and getting away from corporate monoculture. We also get into time banking, giving people a variety of ways to get things other than the dollar bill. We cover a wide gamut, and then of course we also do a lot of spiritual folks that are on the same line as we are.
That sounds fascinating.
It is. It's a great show. And also if you go into the Blog Talk Envision This radio site, you can download, I think it's like 2 or 3 years now we've got of back shows.
That's the beautiful thing about podcasts, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
That's the beautiful thing about podcasts, how these shows can be archived for people to select as if they're looking at a menu in the restaurant, a show that might appeal to them and listen to it at any point in time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And, you know, I mean, I never thought that we would get to interview some of the names we interview, like Charles Eisenstein. He's a great, I consider him a social philosopher, but, you know, he's doing it with an action bent to it. Before I get it, Mary wants me to make sure that I gave you our email address.
No,
website, I'm sorry. It would be Envision This Media. You want me to spell that out?
You can spell that out, sure.
Envision This, THIS, Media, MEDIA, they're all bunched in together, at yahoo.com.
.com. So it's envisionthismedia.com.
Oh, no, wait a minute. She wrote, it's just plain com. I'm sorry. She put, yeah. Mary did that to trick me.
Yeah, I did announce it at the top of the show, so it is already on the podcast. So it's envisionthismedia.com, folks. And we'll also put forward again the website for your radio show, which is blogtalkradio.com/envision-this. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we've got that on the recording twice, so.
Okay.
So people should have that information. Is there anything else you'd like to say about your show? And also, if anybody is interested that resonates with your show, if they're interested in being a guest, how can they get in touch with you?
I'm going to put you over to my wife because she generally handles most of that. Hold on just a sec.
Sure.
Okay. What is it we're asking about?
Well, I have attracted a lot of people to my show, and some of them have even been callers. And I wasn't sure if you wanted to put it out on this particular recording, that if there are people that resonate with your show and would be interested in getting in touch with you for whatever reason, what's the best way for them to do that?
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, the best way is through our email, envisionthisradio. It's the same envision this merged together, but instead of media, it's radio at yahoo.com.
Okay. So
I guess I must have crossed the two together one.
That's all right. And while I'm thinking of it, let me ask, what's the best place for people to get Sophia's Web?
It can either be ordered via our website or the envisionthismedia.com website, or it can be gotten very quickly through Amazon.
Okay. Now, I had an idea for you, and we can talk about this after the radio show, but I have had... I have had an agent on my show, a literary agent, who has kindly taken a look at some of my own material. And I have hosted a number of her authors on my show. And I think that she might be somebody that you could contact for Burl's next book to see if they might be interested in taking that project on, or even taking on Sophia's Web to get more exposure. So we can talk about that after the show. I'll just call you back at this phone number.
Great, great. I do appreciate it. And
no problem.
Thank you for the publicity in the airtime today, and for your very receptive ear. I love when we're talking to somebody who's on the same wavelength we are.
It's wonderful, isn't it? And
yes, it is.
The amazing thing that I found on this show is I've only had 3 out of nearly 300 people on the show that I did not totally resonate with.
Uh-huh.
And for those other ones,
exactly.
We were able to find common ground on, you know, probably 90% of the subject matter that we were covering.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of people out there that really are resonating at a higher level. And, you know, I think that, you know, this so-called law of attraction really has a lot of merit, because I just attract guests now. I don't have to pursue them anymore, and that's wonderful.
Now, that is wonderful. We've been backed off for a couple of health reasons, and at first we had been going to go into a assisted living facility and moved and whatever, and then discovered that our dog, who likes to bark, she barked once during your episode just now, they weren't willing to keep her, and she's an integral part of the family. So we're getting set up back at home and getting everything, including finances, back in order. And we've really got to think in terms of what we're going to do with the show, whether we're in fact going to resume it, or whether, as I say, you know, so many of the people that we've interviewed on it will be going into the Vision, Mission, and Passion book.
Well, would you like to talk a little bit about that, and maybe also the journal that you mentioned earlier in the minutes that are remaining?
Yes. Well, Vision, Passion, and Mission is further in-depth interviews with people that have been our guests on Envision This, who have a vision of a future that's more resilient, earth-friendly, equitable, and likely to survive. And what I'm looking at is, what is it that these people all have in common that keeps them energized in the face of some very disturbing and discouraging external circumstances that we're all living through? And what is it that keeps their vision up, that keeps their passion up, keeps their mission up? And so it's like in-depth interviews with people that we already have interviewed about their work on the radio show. And we'd like to get it published in such a way that people would have access both to the chapter of the book and to the radio show with the person talking about they're really contributing at this time and in their own unique way. And the other piece of writing, and some of this writing is why I'm questioning whether we're going to go on doing more radio shows. The other piece of writing has to do with Burl's Alzheimer's and the changes that it's bringing in our lives and our insights and the ways that we find to communicate. And for instance, I just mentioned to you that we came back home simply because it was crucial to us to keep our dog with us. And the people at the home really did not understand that, but she's such a part of our lives, and especially as Burl begins to lose some of his verbal continuity, the relationship to the dog is so much, draws on so many more channels
than that. That it.
I can certainly appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Pets are wonderful touchstones to our souls, and they mirror unconditional love in a way that humans often don't.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And somehow, you know, despite not having our language and sophistication and, you know, education or whatever, she pathically understands when one of us is needing comfort, is needing love, is needing support.
Mm.
And if anything goes wrong, you know, she immediately becomes a protectress for us. And I think there is so much that's available to us human beings that we have just considered ourselves superior to or something, that we need to get back to, that we need to really, really reconnect, not just with our pets, but with nature, with each other, with our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that and save the journal for the next show.
Okay.
Let's talk about what you were just saying about that empathic nature that animals have towards other people's needs, how we as humans can do that for one another.
Yes. Yes, we certainly can, and it's wonderful, I think, when you are with somebody and you suddenly hear and feel their need and their yearning underneath whatever it is that they're saying, and it comes through to you so clearly that you mirror it back to them through your eyes, through a gesture, through a hug, through even just a song or whatever it might be. I think we all have these communicative capacities that somehow...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say it takes a lot of focus to be able to bring that all to the forefront, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, it certainly does. But there are times when, you know, you can really, really feel it working. We had Burl's mom with us on home hospice during the last part of her life. And there were times when she was suffering, when Burl and I could sit with her, sometimes reach out to touch her, but sometimes she, you know, would withdraw from that, but reach out to touch her with our energies, with our love, and we would get a triangle of energy going among the three of us that could... and it often had not healing powers in the sense that it stopped her from the process of dying that she was going through, but healing power in the sense that it reached her and helped her to know that she wasn't alone and that she was being upheld and just in the womb of the family, in the arms of the family.
That's beautiful. And I think it's important to affirm that we all possess that capacity and that we can develop it. I mean, we're all highly gifted people. It's just that so many people deny their gifts and don't use the power of affirmation, don't meditate, don't do whatever it is to go within deeply so that they can connect with their spiritual gifts. What do you think about that?
I definitely agree. And some of it is that we're kept so
busy with the surface level stuff that eventually builds wealth for some few people and anxiety for the rest of us. But also, because we have been taught to subdue our sexuality and to subdue our emotions, I think we have been taught to shut the door on our ability to actually empathically reach out to each other and touch each other.
That comes back to fear, don't you believe?
Yes, yes, definitely it comes back to fear. But the fear to some extent has been intentionally induced for so long that it seems sometimes like fear and death are our native atmosphere, when in fact, you know, love and life are.
How true. Well, I wonder if each of you would like to say a few closing words. We have about 3 minutes left, and it doesn't matter if we go over a little bit.
Okay.
On anything that we've talked about tonight.
That was one of the things that I always loved about Blog Talk Radio, is that it didn't matter if you went over a little. It could be personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a way a humanizing of the media that's so badly needed. Just a second, and I will close with the last paragraph of Sophia's Web. In closing, I pray that Sophia, however you name the feminine divine, will shine her light of truth into the depths of your soul. I also hope she does so in the eternal present. I rededicate this book to Sophia and to all receptive readers. May it help you be the saving grace you were born to be.
Beautiful.
And I will put Burl on for his closing words.
Okay, it's wonderful to talk to you, Mary. I'll talk to you again in a few moments.
Okay. Say goodbye.
Well, I just wondered if there's any summation that you'd like to make or any comments that may have come to mind as a result of our chat tonight.
Well, I'm hoping that the people will start looking, instead of at the differences between everything and opposites as being at war, I hope folks can start looking at opposites as mirror images. And, you know, in the Bible, it said, I think it was in Proverbs, I can't remember the chapter, that all the ways of wisdom of Sophia is peace. And, you know, I'm hoping with the writings that folks can start getting to see the threads that bind us all together, whether we're Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, or atheist. You know, there comes a part time when you start seeing the web between all things in ourselves.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Burl. It's been
thank
a joy
you.
To have you on the show.
Thanks. It was great being here with you.
And just to let folks know, I am on the air again tomorrow night with Julie Robinson, who's an angel reader. So call in and get a free angel reading if you so desire. She is a wonderful, compassionate soul and very talented. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. God bless.